I think some of you have been here yesterday night, so I only take up some points of yesterday night and go ahead with telling a little bit of the life which is going on in our village for sick ones in Bethel. If you come to Bethel, you don't have the feeling of coming into a place where one hospital is on the side of the other one. Nothing like this. You come into a village or a small town, like very many other German villages and towns, and you have completely the feeling of being in a place like very, very many other German towns and villages. Well, you see someone with this helmet on his head, our epileptics who have very heavy attacks need this, because if they fall down, they can be hurt. Or you see quite a lot of chairs on wheels, you say so? Chairs on wheels. Or you see quite a lot of people who walk a little bit with more difficulties than I do and you do. Things like this. But this is all. We want those who are disabled to live in a world like everywhere else, but a world which is prepared for them so that they can live in this kind of world. It's something else than similar institutions driven, organized by our government. We call them Landeskrankenhäuser. There you have big walls around it. They are in a rural district. You have to knock at the door ring the bell. It's a difficult business with another foreign language. Ring the bell, and then it opens, and you can come in. There, those who are disabled are some kind of outcasts of society, and this we do not want. Now, this means that those who think they are healthy have to take up a kind of life which makes it possible for those who are disabled to live in the same way. It means that we not only can live for those who are sick, but with those who are sick. For those means you are sick, and we are caring for you, and we give you medicaments, and here's your food, and here's your room, and we do everything for you, then they are children for lifetime. But we want to live with them. That means we go down. We go on the level on which they can live, so that they have the feeling, I can live like I am, and he accepts me, and he lives with me. We think this is very, very important. Now, let's think about what belongs to such a kind of life in such a village in which 3/4 of those who are living there are sick ones, or 2/3 of them are sick ones, and 1/3 normal men and women. In Germany we have two words which are very close to one another, but it comes out that they are of the same origin, namely Heilung und Heil. In English, healing and salvation, or something like this. Holy, well, Heil means to take the salvation which God is giving to us, to accept it. Everything which God is giving to us, including eternal life, if you accept this, this means Heil. And you see, in the German language, both words are very similar to one another. They have the same origin in language. And I think this is a marvelous thing, because it says, your life now, your daily life now, these 70 or 80 or 90 years which you live in between having been born and going to death, and eternal life belong together. They are very close together. They are also something else, but at the same time they belong together. Now, this is it, what we want in Bethel, to have Heilung und Heil, healing in all your diseases, and the eternal life together, being given, being brought to those who are disabled or handicapped, and at the same time live it together with them. Now, there are quite a lot of things which we have to do to reach this goal. I begin with therapy. You have to give those who are disabled the most excellent therapy which you have in your time. So we have to go up with the progress in therapy, and this is quite a difficult job. There is so much progress in all kinds of therapy in our times that it is very, very difficult to go up with it. Right now, there are two lines of development in Bethel. The one line is, we have more and more success in really healing a person, or at least bring him in a position that he can live on his own feet and can go out from Bethel and go to his parents or relatives or the place where he had lived before and take up some profession and be there. We call it rehabilitation. Rehabilitation? That's an English expression? Yes. And this is growing very, very much. Since 1962, we have a special clinic for epileptics, and about 600 persons in the average in a year go through this clinic only for 14 days, maybe 3 weeks, maybe a month, and then they can go home. Maybe they have to come back 2 years later to look at them. This has been completely unthinkable in Bethel 50 years ago. And there are quite a lot of other things which we can do so that a person recovers, learns on school some kind of education, or some kind of education in a profession, and then we can ask him, now you go outside of Bethel, back where you have come from, and live there. And also, quite a lot of people only have to come for some kind of counseling, treatment for some days, giving a letter to a physician in the place where he is living, telling him, this is an epileptic man, you do this and this and this, and then he can live. So the number of disabled and handicapped men and women, and particularly children, who only come to Bethel for a time and then they go back home, is growing and growing and growing. And we even hope that the day will come that we find the origin of epilepsy. We have research work in Bethel and on other places in Germany, and also in other countries, also in America. We know about it. There's contact in between these different research groups. 2 years ago, we had a group of about 30 scientists in research against epileptic in Bethel. They are cooperating with one another. Right now, they think that there is something going wrong in the cells of the nerve system in the brain. we say in Germany Stoffwechsel. In the cells in the nerve system, there's Stoffwechsel, something exchange of little things, I don't know exactly, going on. And those who are doing research are thinking that in these cells something is going wrong. And the astonishing thing is that they say probably it's the same origin of epilepsy and heavy mentalistic sickness like depression or schizophrenia. They say so. So it may become the day that we find the origin of these sicknesses, and then probably can develop a therapy which really brings healing. We are looking forward to such a day. But in the time until this may be a day to come, we have to do whatever we can do to help a person to come out. From our school for handicapped children, this year are coming out 32 boys and girls who had gone through the Mamre special school. We have three special schools, the one for very, very disabled children. They probably will stay in Bethel for a lifetime. But we want to give an education to each child, even if it is very, very hard damaged. We think that everyone has the right to get an education. Not an education to study mathematics and things like this, but to learn to walk, or to go up a staircase, or to dress himself, or to eat by himself, or things like this, or to paint a little bit. Well, Richard is in Bethel since about 40 years or 35 years, I don't know exactly. He is only lying in his bed and in a chair on wheels. Someday, someone had the idea to give him something to paint to his feet. He cannot work with this, he doesn't have arms, but to his feet. And he invented such a kind of paper which you could bring to his bed from the upper side. And now he paints with his feet, and he sells the paintings, and he gets so much money that he can be the godfather of a child in India. And Richard is happy to be the godfather of a child in India. You see the prints of the paintings of our children in school. We make postcards out of them in the bookstore. Maybe that some of them come from Richard. Now, we want this line of development to help someone to be able to go out and to be on his own feet. But on the other side, the other line of development is that we get more and more very, very heavy diseased and disabled persons. This is growing. It may be, one of the reasons may be that quite a lot of children in the first year after they have been born do not die, but by the special medical care in our times, they survive, but they have the damage. Now, we want to be ready to have, to be the village in which they can live. These very, very heavy damaged, they have a very, very difficult life. Nobody at home knows how to handle them, how to go along with them. And so this part of Bethel also has grown and is growing. Homes for very heavy damaged persons. And also with them, we try to give them the chance of a pattern of life which is fitting to their sickness. 82% of our patients in Bethel do some kind of productive, creative work. 82%. And if you see these very disabled persons, then someone cannot, you have to be astonished. It's really an astonishing thing. And there are quite, there are excellent things which they can do. Let's see some pictures, can we? This is ceramics. There's a Jewish couple in Bethel who has a workshop for ceramics, and they are doing beautiful work, and now we have 32 workshops in which you paint, or you have wood carving, or weaving, or things like this. And in most of them, we now have ceramic, and it came out that particularly for those who are mentally sick, ceramics is a most excellent work. It makes you calm. You have to use your hands. You have to bring out such a form. And then you see the form, and it makes you happy that you have been the man or the woman who can build up such a beautiful thing. This is also ceramic. We put it on the wall, and some of them have made a complete wall like this, or like, or with pictures out of the Bible or something like this. Hartmut Gnast, a epileptic boy who came to Bethel in the age of 10 years, and on the school he learned painting and then ceramics, and then he made a wall in our house Nazareth, which is the brother house, the school for our deacons, covering a whole wall with pictures out of the Bible. And it is so beautiful that artists from all over Germany are coming and looking at it. And we brought out a book with printings from this wall, and it is sold in Germany very well. Everyone is astonished that a 20-year-old epileptic men can do such marvelous ceramic. Well, this is something else, working with clothes and things like this, making things to play for children, or things like this. Well, can we have light again? Oh yes, they do, well, they have help. There's someone who has studied things like this. This Jewish couple, Kamitsa, he is a famous ceramic man. He has things in a museum in New York. Oh yes. There are Mitarbeiter, we call them, who have studied to do these things, and they help them and teach them. Sure. Sure, they need some kind of help, you know.
Yeah.
But it's astonishing that you have to discover the kind of ability which they have. You have to try this, you have to try this, and things like this, and then suddenly it comes out. And then they become creative. And then they have fun to make these things. And then we serve them, and if they see that others like to buy it and like it. sometimes we go out with groups of our sick ones in cities, sitting on the marketplace, and then they do these things on tables on the marketplace. And they invite those who are going around, come, work together with us. On the Kirchentag in Berlin in June, there have been more than 60,000 men and women. We had a stand, some tables, and the sick ones sitting there, and they're inviting everyone who's coming along, please come and work with us. And this has been a I mean, this is the most close encounter with our Sikhs. Not to talk with them, not to say, how old are you, and things like this, but to work with them and to see what they can. At the Kirchentag, some of our Mitarbeiter accompanied this group, and they had quite a lot to do because they had to help them at the Kirchentag and also to take care of them when they went into their houses where they lived in Berlin. So they were very, very tired. And when I visited them, these Mitarbeiter said, well, we are very, very tired. But the sick one said, no, we are not so much tired. And they were very proud that they could stand it better than the Mitarbeiter. Well, but there is more to do than therapy, special schools, and special workshops for them. We think that the kind of help which we have to bring has to be, well, now I again have to use a German word, ganzheitlich. That means the different aspects of life, the different perspectives of life, have to come together. You have to see a person with his body, with his mind, with his spirit, with his joy, with his quarrels, with his sorrow, with his eternal life. You have to see all this together and to help him in all these perspectives. And we think that this is a very important thing, to see a person like God is seeing him, and to do everything to develop whatever you can develop in this person, how God sees him, and how God doesn't see only the body and his nice eyes or something like this. God sees what is in his mind and what kind of charisma, gifts he may have, and you have to find it out, and you have to develop it, and what kind of ability to communicate with another person he has. Maybe he cannot speak, but maybe he has other kinds of getting into contact with others and give something to others. Well, let me talk a little bit on this problem of the different perspectives of life. Someday, a epileptic man who was living in one of our houses had his 5th anniversary of being in Bethel. 50 years being a sick person in Bethel. If this happens, then we have a big festival. Also 25 years. And well, if a man in a factory is working and he is 25 years working, then they also make some kind of festival. And to be a sick person in a village, this is something. And I was sitting on his side, and then he began to tell about his life. He came to Bethel being a boy. And then he learned, first on school and then later on in some of our workshops, well, this kind of working with, or we better show the picture, then we see it. Could you show the new picture? Oh no, the next one. Oh no, this is wrong. Oh, this is also wrong. Oh, it's a pity. If you look in the map, numbers, the series 7 and the picture 4, could we get it? Oh, there's no one in there. Oh, that's a pity. But then we try it later on, Kari. There's something going wrong. Well, he learned this old furniture has wood and then some stuff. Yeah, it are small, Yeah, something like this maybe. Mm-hmm. Yes. 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 Yeah. That's right. That's right. And, well, seven, series seven, Karin, and picture four. The seven is on it, but not the four. And he learned this handicraft so good that the most difficult things were given to him, and he was very proud on this. And then he talked about the war, and we had bombing in Bethel in the war. Some of our houses have been destroyed. And someday he was outside, and then suddenly this ringing the bell, no, so, this like fire, and then everyone knew now bombing bombers are coming, and in 2 or 3 or 5 minutes it's going on, maybe, maybe not. So he thought what to do now. And there was a bridge, a bridge out of stones, and some people went under this bridge. And he also wanted to go under this bridge, but then he thought, no, I'm more safe in Bethel. Bethel is the safest place on earth. So he ran so quick as he could run and came to his house exactly in time. Next day he read in the newspapers, or we all read in the newspapers, that this bridge had been hit by a bomb and all of those who had been under the bridge were dead. So you can imagine that this man discovered the grace of God by being in Bethel, and the kind of feeling of being at home in Bethel. This is the place where you can be at home. And then he told me about the preaching of Pastor Fritz. This was the most exciting thing for him, to listen to the preaching of Pastor Fritz. And Pastor Fritz has died in 46. So this was 30 years ago. And he still remembered the preaching of Pastor Fritz. And still this preaching was going with him, comforting him and helping him to have his life in Bethel. And out of this comes the kind of you being able to accept yourself with your sickness. And this is a tremendous difficult thing. I mean, I can accept myself. I have studied, and very many say, well, Alex Funke, that's a good boy and a good man, and I want to be together with him. You know, it's easy to accept myself. But if you are sick for a lifetime, then to accept yourself. Well, in the house in which I am responsible for, each of our houses has one pastor, which is responsible for those who are living in this house. Every Monday I go into this house, and about a year ago we got a grown-up man who was epileptic sick, and he was a son in a family which was very, very rich. They had a series of storehouses in the Ruhr district, millionaires. And he had brothers who did everything, who were working in this these series of storehouses. And he himself had been on the gymnasium and studied on the university, and then suddenly he became very terrible epileptic attacks. Now he's in Bethel. And whenever I come into this house, then he comes, and then he has to speak out how much he hates this kind of life. He is wounding himself in his mind day by day, because he now his brothers have a good life, and he now is living in Bethel. So it's very hard to accept yourself if you are a sick person. And I think this is a tremendous important thing, to help them to accept themselves. And if you are able, well, the way to help them is, you have to show them that you accept them. in the way they are, that you like them, and you are not only friendly through, you are living together with them. This helps them, and the message that God is accepting us. Now let me tell of Manfred. Manfred came to Bethel also being a young boy. He also had epileptic attacks, and very often this is combined with difficulties in your behavior. Manfred became very, very angry, very often. And you didn't know what to do with him. Now, the deacon who was responsible in this house, he sent him out with his sheep. They had some sheep. This rice, sheep. And he went across the country, not so far, around the house, taking care of the sheep. And now, this is a calm profession, you know. You have nothing to do, you just walk around, and the sheep, they don't become angry, even if Manfred became angry. And on the evening, when he brought them back, then he prayed with them. Or he told them a story. Or he told them what he had heard in the sermon last Sunday. Now, you can laugh on Manfred, but you can remember Francisco from Assisi. You know, he has been one of the most remarkable men in European history. And he preached to the animals in the woods. And he was praying with the birds. I think Manfred and Franciscus are closer to creation than most of us civilized persons are. I think Manfred and Franciscus are closer to creation than most of us civilized persons are. We lost contact with creation. Manfred has immediately direct contact to creation. He is happy. I think he has something which I do not have. And this is his ability. Well, when Manfred has been in Bethel for 25 years, the pastor who was responsible for this house hasn't been in Bethel. So he went along in Bethel, and when he met a pastor, he said, "Pastor, our pastor is not at home. When I have my anniversary, 25th anniversary, cannot you come?" And this pastor said, "Well, Manfred, I come." And when the festival began, there were 13 pastors sitting. All of them invited, single, by Manfred. Now you see the kind of feeling which Manfred has. This has to be, on my anniversary, there has to be one pastor, and if the one who is in charge of it isn't there, then another one, and even 13. This is, Manfred has his anniversary, you know? And I think this is very, very right. If they have this kind of feeling in Bethel, then we say it in Germany, Selbstwertgefühl, to be convinced of your own personality, to have a feeling for the value of your own personality. And I think this is a marvelous thing for those who are sick. And then it's necessary in Bethel that everyone can live just like he is, like Wes Priep is living in Holden Village. And you like him just like he is. With everything like he is. He He is in, we say in Germany, original, something, something original. And we have quite a lot of original in Beethoven, like Mr. von Bismarck. You know that the name von Bismarck is famous in Germany. And sometime I asked him, well, how are you related to the Chancellor von Bismarck? Well, he said, this is a line beside the main line in our family, the Chancellor. Well, and someday I saw him at a corner, and there's a street with much traffic. We have streets in Bethel with all the traffic of Bielefeld going through. And then he saw an old lady standing on the one side of the road, and she wanted to go over, and she didn't risk it. What did he do? He came to her, he gave her his arm, and he went over with her across the street to the other side. Like an old gentleman in a very old German family who knows how to behave if you meet a lady. And you see, if a man, he is in Beethoven since 50 years or more, he's an old man now. If he can even live the kind of heritage which he gets out of his famous family, he would surely be completely lost in Hamburg or in any big German city. Everyone would laugh at him. But in Basel he can bring in even the heritage out of his famous family. And another thing is, we have to help them to make a contribution to the common life. This is very important. If a person is a single person and has to go by himself and nobody cares for him and he loses contact with the common life, then that's not good. We have to help them, and you lose contact with common life if you do not support the common life, if you only are someone who is running with all the others. This is not enough. Well, Paul Sticht, he is in Bethel also since 40, 50 years, and probably he's in the same house for which I am responsible as a pastor. Probably the day will come when I have to give the funeral for him. We have in Germany very many men who have a hornet or a trumpet and things like this, and we have big choirs with these instruments. Posaunenchöre. Brassband. Posaunenchöre. It's a big movement all over Germany. It began in Bethel. The man who did it, Pastor Kulo, he was the Posaunengeneral, as we called it, him in Germany. He was the leading person of the Deacon School, Nazareth. And it spread out all over Germany. Sometimes we have in Bethel in our church under the woods, 2,000, 3,000, 5,000 with all these instruments and then a big orchestra. Now, Paul Sticht, since years, takes care of all those who play these instruments. He picks up little boys and trains them, and he takes care of the little house they have. They have their own house where they have their notes and instruments and things like this. He takes care that everything is going right, and there's no funeral in Bethel which is not accompanied by a press, by a Posaunenchor. They go from the church to the cemetery. No one, whoever it is, Paul Sticht organized all of this. This is an example, and I could tell quite a lot of examples like this, that a sick man gets a Aufgabe, something to do inside of the community. And then another aspect of ganzheitlich is to help them to live the life of faith. In the Latin expression, coram Deo, a life in the eyes of God. If you will get a touch of what this means in Bethel, then please read the book of Edna Hong, Bright Valley of Love. There she describes the life of Günther, who came to Bethel being a boy of 4 years, and he now may be 63 or something like this, and she describes his life. Then you have then you read it, how a sick one in Bethel found the different perspectives of life, and in the middle of it, this kind of living in the love of God. Well, let me tell another person. Conrad is his name. Someday he asked me, I would like to learn the Greek language. I would like to read the New Testament in Greek. I didn't know what to say. But then I found a person who was ready to give him a loan, private studies in Greek. And he succeeded to learn the Greek language, and he is reading the New Testament in Greek. And when I have devotions or a Bible study in the house, then it happens that he, Conrad, says, well, Pastor, this word is not very well translated by Luther. I would say it must be translated like this. And I think if someone learns to be so close to the New Testament, then he really takes what is in it, you know? He really wants to study it. He doesn't only want to listen to the pastor, maybe, I don't know what the pastor says, but he wants to be under Quelle, where the river comes out of the bottom. Yes. Someday, a person who was working in our hospital for a year, we have a special hospital for our sick ones when they became sick. I mean, when they became acute sick, you know. Maybe they broke an arm or something like this. And this nurse told me, now I've seen quite a lot of these sick ones who lived in Bethel for years and years going to die. And they die in another way than I'm used to see it in a normal hospital. They die so calmly. They die they are not shocked. They have some kind of inner joy or inner zufriedenheit. Peace, yes. And this is because they have taken the message. They know they are in the love of God, and this cannot separate us from God. And they now to pray. They live in prayer. They are speaking with God like a man is speaking with his friend. Well, and then it means to be a congregation, a joyful congregation. And now let us see some other pictures. Could we see them? Oh, let's change this quickly. Oh, yeah. Here is beginning. Ernst, he is in front of this whole picture. He is walking around in Bethel, and you see him here and here and here and here, and even in Bielefeld, and everyone knows him. And at the very moment when music is beginning, then he is doing like Paul does when the choir is singing, you know. You see it here. He is the son of a professor. He is in Bethel since a long time. This is a Jewish man. Someday he came and said, now I want to become a Lutheran. Well, I said, what is your mother saying? Well, I don't know, but I want to become a Lutheran. And then I said, well, ask your mother to come, and when she comes, I want to talk with her. And she had the name Oppenheimer and was out of a very famous German Jewish family. And all of her relatives have been in concentration camp and died. She alone has been in a foreign country and did not go back, and therefore she is still alive. And then she said, oh my, If my husband would know this, he couldn't bear it. So I talked with him and said, George is his name, you better stay in your faith. But you can come to our services, and God doesn't care whether someone is belonging to the Jewish faith or to the Lutheran faith. He is only asking for what you are believing in your heart. We have quite a lot of festivals like this, very happy, very full of joy. And you now, if someone is sick for years, he needs much more joy than we need. We are able to have our own joy to make it, but they need to all kind of opportunities to be joyful. Festivals have to be prepared. Now we have a orchestra with these, what do you say, mouth organ, something, yes. Because this is a very easy to handle instrument. And they play all kinds of music. Well, and we have a special Freizeitwerk, a house which is given to our patients, and they can come whenever they have free time and do whatever they want. And now they build up 30 clubs of different kinds. This club which is playing this game, Schach, we call it Schach in Germany, and other group make music, other group make folk dance, other groups make discussion, and one group meets every Wednesday night, and they are talking on the text which will be preached on next Sunday. They prepare to be able better to listen next Sunday. And therefore, all of us who are preaching in Bethel preach the text which is given by the church, and we do not choose a text which we just want to preach on. Because they have prepared how to get a better door, inner door to the text. And very often it happens that after a sermon they come and say, well, Pastor, you said this or this. I do not agree. I think this text has another meaning. Now this is a service in our Waldkirche under the trees. Malcolm Margaret visited us some years ago. He had to make a film for the BBC on Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer has been in Bethel, so they wanted to make pictures in Bethel. And then he has been in one of these services in the forest. And in his book on Jesus, he has written a most marvelous book on Jesus. You should try to see it and to read it. Beautiful pictures. And he writes on Jesus that Jesus has not lived in the time of the Roman Empire. He is living now. And you have to encounter Jesus now. And not only a historical person out of the past. And in this book he writes on one page on his having been in such a service in Bethel, and he says, there I experienced the very presence of Jesus. And sometimes this has been the 100th anniversary of Bethel. Then we go into a big city, Dortmund, in the biggest hall in our country. 20,000 people can go in, and we take special trains from Bielefeld to Dortmund, and then we have a big festival like this. And this also is necessary, that our sick ones sometimes are outside of Bethel and see how big the world is and be together with others. Oh yeah, joy to the Lord, or serve the Lord with joy, come to his faith with joyful singing. Well, can we have the light on? I want to close with telling on, well, I've talked on some of our sick ones, and let me take one who is mentally sick or psychiatric sick, very hard psychiatric sick. But he is the anchor, the, not the son, but the next generation. Grandson. The grandson of a man who has been a chancellor in Germany in the time of the empire, German empire. Well, and when we had the visit of Chancellor Brandt, Willy Brandt, in Bethel, and we had a big meeting in this Waldkirche, and Brandt was surrounded by these policemen who had to take care of him, and the sick ones, they didn't know. They came and wanted to shake hands with him, and all these policemen were very, very, and he felt very, very uneasy. And then suddenly he came, and he had put on his best clothes, which were very, very old, completely out of fashion. Black collar and to the bottom, like people had it on a funeral or something like this. And he came up in a long beard like Ho Chi Minh, like this. And he came directly to Willy Brandt, and the policemen were, oh, they were just. And then he said, I'm the grandson of a chancellor, and I pray for you day by day. And Willy Brandt was very much moved by this. And then this man went to the altar in our church in the forest and turned to the altar and began to pray. And we went with Willy Brandt to his place, and the whole ceremony was going on. You see, this guy, this is a man who is, there are days and weeks in which he is completely in darkness in his soul. But there are sudden moments in which his conscience comes back. And then this conscience is right in the midst of faith and in the midst of prayer with God. And if we succeed to help people like this, therapy until this kind of living in faith, well, then it's all right. Thank you.